to introduce a new habit, it takes conscious awareness, first starting with the decision to make the change.
Welcome to Connect Back In podcast. I'm Morgan King, your host, and I'm so passionate about sharing with you the spiritual concepts that have transformed my life. It is not always an easy path, but I know within my soul that if it's good on the inside, it's good on the outside. Through interviews with experts and my personal experience, we will break down how to live a spiritual life in today's society. My hope is that you find the inspiration and support you need as you explore your own journey to connect back in.
Hey, it's Morgan King, your host of Connect Back In. Thank you for being here today. First, if you are an avid listener, I would love it if you would take just a few seconds and go on over to iTunes or wherever you listen to this and rate or even review the podcast. I'd really appreciate that. Takes minimal time and it will help other people find it who are looking for this type of content. So thank you in advance for doing that. Secondly, let's get into today's topic. I feel like it is a familiar one, and we may have all felt this way at one point or another. Really having the desire to change some part of our lives and not knowing how to do it. Maybe you've been trying to do it for a long time and just feel as though you've gotten nowhere. So today I want to talk through some steps that can be supportive to you and some just concepts to consider that will help you on your journey. Because we are growing, changing, evolving beings. It comes with the human experience. We cannot avoid it. And I think that's a really good thing. And so the first things first is you've identified some area of your life that you want to change. It could be something that you do, a habit. Everything's a habit in reality. If we break it all down, all the way in which we operate in this world is habitual. And so to introduce a new habit, it takes conscious awareness, first starting with the decision to make the change. I oftentimes refer to brushing your teeth or driving a car because that's an automatic habit that we don't have a lot of resistance or stories around. We're not like, oh, when I brush my teeth, man, you know, all this feeling and of emotion comes up for me. I have all this resistance around the toothpaste and how long I brush my teeth and how often I do it and all that stuff, right? We just do it mindlessly in most cases, and then we're done. We don't even think about it anymore. It's such a habit, hopefully. Especially with driving too. If you don't brush your teeth, I mean, please, for God's sakes, for your dental health and for the rest of humanity who has to spend time around you, maybe just try that one on for size. I'm just kidding, but no, seriously, brush your teeth. You only get one set of teeth. So getting back to the point here is driving your car. Like you get in your car, you turn it on, you may have to reverse. You put your seatbelt on, maybe you put on music or the address to the destination and where you're headed. But in most cases, you just kind of do it. You don't say, okay, gas, okay, brake, okay, you know, turn up the speed, slow it down. You just do it if you are someone who has driven for a long time. But I'm sure at one point when you first got into your vehicle, remember the days in which you were learning to drive? I remember for me, I was in the driver's seat with my dad. He was in the passenger seat, which he always drove. So he didn't understand that like being close to the edge on the road was a thing if you're a passenger. So he'd always totally freak me out and be like, oh my God, you're going over the edge. And I was like, I'm not. I'm totally in the middle. You're just used to being the driver. And I remember trying to go the speed limit and being a perfectionist at the time, still kind of am. I was like, I need to go exactly 45 miles an hour. And it would oscillate. And I was like, how do you get it to go exactly 45? And my dad was like, just go over. It doesn't matter. Anyway, just going back to the initial time, think back for when you first started to drive, if you have your license and you're like, it was a little bit challenging. It was uncomfortable. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then over time, it became easier and easier. You learn to trust yourself. You learn to trust other drivers. hopefully, like, you don't get really stressed when you're on the freeway. You just trust that everybody's going to do their best and figure it out. And in most cases, we do this mindlessly now. We listen to a podcast, we listen to music, we talk to friends on the phone. We distract ourselves while we're driving because it's so automatic. It's such a habit. And there's so many patterns like this in our lives that we don't even recognize. And so making the decision and having the awareness that you want to make a change is the first step. And I'll tell you, it is the biggest one. All you need is the desire to change. You're already so close to the finish line once you've discovered that the way in which you're operating in a certain part of your life, you no longer can tolerate. That is huge for you. I feel like we don't give ourselves enough credit for that. And we just bypass that part and we're like, okay, let's get to the solution. Let's get to the finish line. For me and a lot of who I coach, and like my last coaching program is really centered around those people who operate in this burnout mentality. They take a lot of action. They believe that struggle and sacrifice is required in order to achieve their dreams and goals. They have big dreams and goals and aspirations. And ultimately, they're chasing happiness, knowing that, or believing, excuse me, that it's on the other side of this achievement that they'll get one day, right? So that's a habit. That's a pattern. And once you get to a point in your life, this is an example I'm using, of saying, this, there has to be more to life than this. I can't be operating from this. I never find happiness at the end of each achievement. There's just another one there. So how do I break free from this? And that moment, having that awareness, that desire to change is so huge and monumental. You really can't go back after that moment because you are too aware of how you're operating. Now, keeping in mind, you may have functioned in this certain way for a very long time and have a ton of belief and experiences that represent this way of being, this way of living. Even if it's not supportive to you and you're cognitively aware of it, you now have the desire to change. Your patterns, just like driving your car or brushing your teeth, are very deeply ingrained and they're habitual. And so just waking up one day, while this can definitely happen, it's not likely that all of a sudden you're going to completely change everything about yourself. And I think this is where we get really caught up and we get frustrated with the process, is we want this immediate satisfaction. In our society today, you can Google the answer to anything and instantaneously get a response that you're looking for. And I think we are looking for this instantaneous response in all areas of our life that are meant to take time. There is nothing wrong with the fact that growth takes time, that receiving manifestations takes time. The time is not the issue. It's our stories about the time that creates the distance between where we are and where we want to be. The ego will always try and convince you that you haven't grown, that you haven't changed, that you're caught up in your same loop of patterns, when in fact, the very thought and desire and awareness to change is so big and huge and monumental. So first off, if you are listening to this, I would suggest there's an area in your life you're hoping to change, giving yourself some grace and some celebration for the fact that you've decided to no longer allow this pattern or habits to destruct your life anymore. I think that's just so huge. It's so easy to just stay in default mode and not question the way in which we operate and just move forward, even if we know something's not working for us. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of awareness to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it this way anymore. And I'm open and available to other ways. So that's the first thing there. First step is just making the decision and being aware. And now that you have this desire, like, you can't go back. So just know that that's such a huge part of this puzzle. Then the second step is, or these aren't even really steps, just thoughts, is that you are so not alone in this. I think when we don't leverage the power of source, spirit, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, this energy that operates the entire world, we're really selling ourselves short. And trying to take that all on our own makes it really daunting and challenging and scary. And I think that keeps us from finding ease along the path of growth and change. So recognizing that you never walk alone, you never have walked alone, you are always in partnership with this greater force that wants you to thrive, wants to support you. You just have to be open and aware and available to receive its support. I love the analogy of an electric bike. Of course, you can bike without its power. Like that is an option that's available to you. But when you use the electric force on a bike, it makes the experience so much easier. You're able to go so much faster. You're able to climb large hills without struggle. And you're able to enjoy the view along the way. And that is what it's like when you leverage the power of the universe. And how we do this is simply by asking and allowing. And the way in which we allow is slowing down, not trying to do it all ourselves, listening to guidance that we receive, taking care of ourselves so we can listen, and letting joy be your compass. What experiences are feeling guided to you as you go through this process of change? Again, focusing on the desire of where you want to go. Another element to this that could be supportive is I think a lot of times we focus on the challenge that we're trying to overcome instead of the solution of where we want to go. Your focus and attention is everything. It is your entire life experience. I say that all the time. I read that all the time in my books and I hear it all the time. And I still need to hear it and I still need to read it. It is so valuable every time I'm reminded of that because we think and we're taught that if we focus on the challenge enough, then we'll come up with the solution. But the challenged brain, the brain that's focused on the challenge, cannot find the solution. It's only when we redirect our consciousness and our awareness to another point in time that we're not only able to receive the solution, but we're able to enjoy the process in which we find the solution. So, for example, if you're someone, let's just use drinking as an analogy, because I feel like that can be an easy one to understand for this example, is you're an alcoholic. First, having awareness that you're an alcoholic is huge. That's just like the biggest piece of the puzzle. Oftentimes in my life, even, or friends of mine, we'd be like, am I drinking too much? Like that was always the question. And if you have that awareness and that question, of course, discern what feels best for you. But the very fact that you're questioning it makes it unlikely that you're an alcoholic. Same thing with people who are asking, am I doing enough? If you're asking that question, you're likely probably doing too much. People who aren't doing enough aren't even asking that question. They're just chilling, mellowing out, and just, yeah, living life in a different way, which is fine. You do you, boo, right? But I think the idea here with the alcohol is focused on trying not to drink is only going to bring awareness to the drinking and the alcohol, right? I don't want a glass of wine. I don't need a glass of wine. It's just focused on the wine, right? Or the alcohol or whatever your choice is of beverage here in this circumstance. So instead of trying not to do something, it's what can you fill with this, what can you fill this space with that you truly enjoy and will make you feel good? So maybe around 5 o'clock, you like to have a glass of wine, which I think is great. I love that for myself as well. Like I love a glass of wine with my meal. I have one almost every single night. I don't like to really feel drunk anymore. I can't do a hangover with a 1.5-year-old. It's just not a thing I want to experience. So I've really cut back on my drinking. But when I was drinking a lot and trying to find ways to slow down, I would generally say, okay, at 5 o'clock, instead of drinking, what am I going to do that is going to bring me that same sense of peace, same sense of luxury, if you will. Like, to me, the habit is a representation. It's not necessarily the alcohol that I would enjoy. It's the process and the ritual that I would enjoy. So what can I do instead that's going to bring to me the same sense of enjoyment through this experience? So some examples might include going for a walk at 5 o'clock. Maybe you do some stretching. Maybe you listen to your favorite record. Maybe you journal. Whatever that is, finding a replacement of joy versus focusing on trying not to do something is going to bring you more success when you're trying to change. So thinking of things that you can replace in advance, so when you get into that moment, you have something at the ready that will allow you to shift out of that energy, that practice, that habit. And then over time, you'll replace that with new patterns, new habits, and it will allow you to change. So continuing on, again, this isn't really like a step-by-step process. It's just things that you can consider if you are trying to make a change and you're not really sure how to do it. So breaking the pattern, as I mentioned before with like the alcohol example, another tip for you is to recognize that patterns are somewhat of an addiction, if you will. So thinking of, again, kind of going to the alcohol, just because we're on that example, is you will experience withdrawals when you shift from a pattern because your brain is used to the certainty that the pattern and habit has brought forward. So just like not drinking anymore, your body goes through withdrawals and wants you to drink. It will say, you should have that glass of wine. You should start tomorrow. You should do this another day. And the very fact that that is coming forward to you is a representation that you are on your way. So just know that. See that as a sign that you are working towards change. And then also replacing this and having those other patterns available to you at the ready. So in the other circumstance, the other example that I brought up earlier, for me personally, as someone who used to experience burnout, when I started to slow down, my brain would constantly want me to be doing more stuff. So it would tell me, Morgan, you should send more emails. You should work harder. You should implement new marketing strategies. You should door knock because I'm also a real estate agent. You should host open houses. You should. And I would have to sit in that discomfort as my brain was going through withdrawals from the pattern of taking action consistently. Now, I want to clarify here that in this circumstance, taking action consistently is somewhat required for change. But in this example of burnout, taking action was the issue that I was facing. I was doing more than my fair share because I was coming from the place that I am not enough as a person. So I need to do more in order to prove myself that I am enough so that I can achieve and get what I want, which was a vicious cycle that got me nowhere, right? Always waiting for the tomorrow, the there, that I would feel this fulfillment, this happiness that never came because I was looking for it outside of myself. But in the circumstance of wanting to change and create new patterns in your life, it does require consistency, but knowing what consistency is good for you and what consistency isn't good for you. So kind of going on to the next part of this is the two voices that I've referred to in other podcast episodes. So while it may appear on the surface that there are many internal dialogues going on in your brain, which there are, that makes you human. Hello, welcome. There's nothing wrong with you. That's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? So just know that I have a very active brain, which is my superpower, honestly. But there are these two voices within us, and the voice of love, which is kind, it's soothing, it's slow, it is supportive. It's in the present moment. It trusts. It knows. It knows you're innocent. It releases guilt. It doesn't hold resentment or judgment. It's soft. And you know this voice. This voice feels good. It generally is represented in your heart center, your chest. So sometimes when I'm looking to really listen to this voice, I'll take some deep breaths. I put my hand on my heart and I ask it questions and let it respond. Then there's the other voice, which a lot of us operate from. And this is not who we are. This is the voice of fear. It's urgent. It's past focused or future focused. It's always doomsday, worst case scenario, like everything's going to fall apart. Everybody's going to hate you. Very judgmental. Focuses on the outer world. So trying to get things in order to feel fulfilled. Really cares about what other people think. It's not very kind. So you may be able to recognize that voice as well. And so while you're trying to discover your new path, as you're trying to change whatever behavior it is that you're trying to change, really discerning between which voice is guiding you is incredibly crucial. This is important in any area, any aspect of life, because when you let the voice of love guide you, you are calmer, you're in a space of trust, you're able to be more present to your experience. And that is what real life is all about. It's not about getting somewhere. It's not about doing something. It's about being somewhere and really enjoying that. And when you are in the voice of fear, it can and will make you feel as though you're not getting anywhere, that your good is always on the other side of something else, that you're not doing it right. What are people going to think of you? And it's just not supportive. So as you're continuing forward to making a change in your life, it's very important to tap into the voice of love as often as you can. And I have many examples of how to do this in other podcast episodes, but just a few I'll bring up now is doing meditations, making sure that you're eating healthy foods, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, moving your body, doing things that bring you joy, and you'll connect deeper and deeper into this voice that will guide you as you're kind of breaking these new patterns, like I mentioned before. And if you're experiencing the withdrawals, this will help guide you through that. And then I'd say the last piece of all of this is just recognizing that life is about experiencing new parts of ourselves. One of the things it's about, and it's about many different things. I feel like I say that about every episode. I'm like, life is about this one thing, but it's about many different elements. And I think a big aspect of it is knowing that being in the space of change, while it can be uncomfortable, it is such a beautiful part of the life experience because we are always growing and changing and evolving, whether we recognize it or not. And I just think giving yourself some grace and love and support as you are going through a experience of trying to change a pattern is just so, so valuable and can get you so, so far. I think we've been taught to white knuckle it and get it done and have this sense of control and accomplishment and checking off the list. But if you can approach this as a graceful, kind of like floating down a river energy that's softer, it's in a space of trust and flow and knowing that you can't get it wrong, you'll never get it done, and just allowing yourself to experience the fullness of being a human as you go through this change and just honoring yourself for the very fact that you're willing to take this path. There's so many people that just settle for their circumstances, complain, and blame. And you're taking back your power. You're saying, no, I do have control over this. There are things I can do. You will begin to be met with people, circumstances, and things that will support you through that belief. So just knowing that you are supported, you're on the right path. And podcasts like this and resources will begin to show up for you and meet you where you're at. You're so, so supported. You do not walk alone. And the very fact that you have the desire to change is all you need. So I hope these reminders today were supportive to you and sending you so much love and support, whatever change you are experiencing or have the desire to change in your life, and just knowing that you're exactly where you should be. So thank you as always for listening, and until next time.
Did you enjoy this episode? If you did, then head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. We sincerely appreciate your feedback. Stay tuned for another episode of Connect Back In, and thank you for listening.